Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. It's that time again. It's the Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast, hosted by my mentor, a friend, a brother to me, Tarek Brock. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version, because it goes by quick, on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast. Platforms wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, it's more of him, less of me. First of all, Tarek, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, how was the off day yesterday in Pittsburgh, a rarity?
Man, I am doing great, man. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. You know, sometimes when the season comes around, you forget what day is what. So I had to say happy Tuesday to everyone. Feeling really refreshed. My day is actually starting early on this Tuesday morning. I tried to document some stuff online the other day about the Pirates Hall of Fame on Facebook. So it's in the first and last name, TARRIKBROCK. On Twitter, it's first name, TARRIKSR. And on Instagram, first and last name with SR, because I'm a senior and I do have a junior. Off day was great yesterday, man. It was really quick. Thankfully that we had an early game and it was called early. I was able to go back home and rest and spend, the rest of the day with the wife. We went out and did some fun activities together and ended it with a nice dinner and a movie at home. So it was a really, really good, refreshing day. But I'm looking forward to, taking on the Mets tonight at PNC Park.
Who picked the movie, you or your wife?
I just think we kind of just fumbled through. I mean, okay, we'll see that one right there. It worked out. Pretty much she picks everything, and I go along with it. But the activity, that's what I picked. So it was a cool thing there.
and when you talk about the rain, I know I was out there covering the Astros and Angels on Sunday, and I couldn't help but notice that the rain coming through Cincinnati, and I kind of figured it was going to go through Pittsburgh, and sure enough, yesterday they called that game early, and now you got to work overtime tomorrow with a split doubleheader before you welcome the Cardinals. But this is the first time you're seeing the Mets this year, this late in the season, less than 40 games in. This is an interesting team now. It looks like they've got some of their guys back. DeGrom's back. The Scherzer's there. But what are you looking for in this series? Because these guys are trying to hold off the Braves in a division that they kind of had control of early on in the season.
You know, yes. This team has been rolling and been doing well. Like you said, with the addition or with DeGrom, rejoining the team and being able to pitch, it's like their pitching staff just got, deeper. The cool thing is that we only see them for three games now, but when we go into New York, we'll see them for four games. So it's a good preview for us, going into it these next 3 days. It'll go really, really quick. So the biggest thing for us is to just play our game. It gets our young guys, looks at guys that we don't get to see, which I think for us, the small advantage for us is that we saw Toronto and we see Toronto during spring training. It might have been once or twice, but that once means a lot, and it is early. So for us, it's just seeing how fast we can play, how we can push this team, the Mets, how we can just hone in and not chase pitches outside of the zone and, put the ball – in play on balls that are in the zone and just continue to run the bases, smart, be aggressive, understanding that we're going to make decisions based upon our inexperience more so than our experience. And so therefore there's going to be continue to be more teaching that's going to be done at this level. And it's more so teaching because these guys haven't played against these guys. And I think that's it. Like, I think maybe none of our rookies, except for Castro, has played against Lindor or defended Lindor. So that would be different. So now we got a whole cast of characters that they never defended, which would be, you know, the challenge for our guys moving, you know, forward in this series.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Sunday's game, the rubber game against that Blue Jay team, and the Blue Jays win that one as well. But you had Romano on the ropes there, first and third. That timely hit has eluded you, but, you know, baseball has a way of working itself out, and sooner or later, you know, the chips fall in the Pirates' favor. But that was frustrating in itself. But you move on, and you put the Blue Jays behind. And how different when you look at the Blue Jays and that are trying to keep pace with the Yankees and Rays are different than the Mets. Two different teams, I would imagine, but great pitching on both sides.
You know, two different teams, two different, you know, circumstances. Anytime you're dealing with the team in the AL East, the beast that it is, and understanding that the Yankees are struggling right now, every game matters. So if we're playing Tampa Bay or Baltimore or the team we just finished playing in the Blue Jays, you know, they're coming into PNC Park or we're at their ballpark. You know, they're expecting to win, you know, all three games. And our job is to come in and just throw that wrench in the spokes of the bicycle and trip them up. And so for us, and I said this last year, I'll continue to say it this year, like this is our playoffs. This is our September race that we're training for. You know, one, we're trying to catch, you know, the teams that are ahead of us in our division, you know, in Cincinnati and Chicago. But also we're playing teams where there's playoff implications every night. And for us, you know, we get to feed off of that experience and that energy and be able to, like, raise our floor. And if we continue to raise our floor, you'll see this team take strides. And in a show like in May, in a show like in June where you look up and go, like, man, these guys are still competing. Kind of like what the Baltimore Orioles are doing this year, where it's like no one expected Baltimore to be where they're at. But when we saw them in spring training and when we saw them, you know, last month, that's not the same team that we saw. And that's the same thing that we're working towards as well.
Yeah. Hey, it was nice to see the Pirates inducted their inaugural Hall of Fame class the other night. 135 years, rich history. I mean, that must have been something to be a part of and watch. And, you know, bringing all these guys in, Mazeroski and Blass and Josh Gibson and Parker. And how great was that Saturday?
You know, it was awesome. You know, the cool thing that is I went to the first ceremony, you know, with the unveiling of the plaques on the wall, and that was just awesome. You know, I've been to many, you know, Hall of Fames or Ring of Fames that teams do, but I've never been to a first one. So that was really cool to be the first one, be at the first one, and then to see, you know, our team recognize, you know, those greats, and also, you know, the Ford Negro League greats as well, which was just awesome. So I think it was really cool for, you know, our city and cool for our organization as well.
Yeah, I know. When you see some of those guys and to bring them and have them a part of that, it's amazing. And was there anything that stood out to you that you go, wow, this is unbelievable? To sit there and watch this thing. Was there any one moment that looked and said, man, this is what I got to cherish?
I think for me, because of the history that I continuously and daily learning about, you know, the Negro Leagues here in Pittsburgh, you know, to see, you know, Ray Brown's great-grandson, which was awesome, was there. You know, seeing, you know, Maz and Steve Blass and Big Dave Parker. And as you know, we talked about it last year, being able to spend time with Dave last year and the challenge that he, you know, he posed to me as a coach and, you know, a leader on his staff. And just to be able to, you know, retouch that. I think that was just really cool. And just seeing it and just seeing that, you know, guys' hard work and their efforts was cool. And also seeing that when you see Hall of Famers, you know, they play for a significantly long time.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen guys that major league debuts was at 20, 21, 22. And these guys played for a long time and put up numbers. I think that was the biggest thing, was just hearing the accomplishments and not necessarily taking it for granted.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is trying to get the foul ball. You know, covering that game, like I said earlier, against the Astros and Angels on Sunday, I decided to go sit with my buddy later on in the game, and he was sitting in a section where the foul balls were coming left and right, and I can still move at 60 years old. But, man, a kid beat me to one, and another guy beat me to another one, so I go home and I say to myself, God doesn't want to give it to me today, but maybe down the line, just getting that ball in that World Series has been a threshold. I might have to go to Oakland to get this thing.
Oh, man. That's it. I think it was it's really cool, you know, when you're watching – you know, things unfold and you just go, this is really cool right here. Yeah, I can relate to you on the foul ball thing and just realizing, hey, man, I don't have what I normally have. and so it's just like, okay, here we go. But no, I feel it, you know, your brain is moving fast, but your body is like, what?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, when you look at the Astros, and they're just a darn good team, but, boy, those fans, you know, you kind of look around and you go, is Tom Brady in the stands here or something? Or, you know, are the Lakers in town or the Celtics? Or what's going on here? Because the boos just seem to rain down on that team, and it's unfortunate in more ways than one.
Yeah, yeah, and it'll be that way for a while until people, you know, forget or something else comes along and it happens. And I just think it is it. But I think at the same time, it helps guys and it helps that team get stronger as they're going along. And it will play for them. I mean, like they have something to rally around with one another. And to me, I think that's one of the coolest things right there.
You're darn right on that one. Top five managers, I came up with five and missing the cut. I had Tony La Russa, Tommy Lasorda, Jimmy Leland, Sparky Anderson, and Dusty Baker. Missing the cut, Chuck Tanner, Clint Hurdle, Billy Martin, Bruce Bochy, Felipe Alou, and hopefully Derek Shelton won't look at this list because I got him, you know, missing the cut a little too, but hopefully he won't hang me on this one because I know he's a darn good manager. But that's who I got on this thing.
Wow! Oh, that's pretty good, man. This list was tough because I was starting to just really think of some things. So I'm just going to go no particular order. Again, I like to get guys that kind of. That were close to me, guys that I met around. So I'm going to go with Tommy Lasorda, being in the Dodgers organization and growing up in L.A. I mean, what a leader, motivator. In my first year of coaching, Tommy came into town and took the coaching staff out to eat and just shared stories about his time and how he worked. And it was about the players and playing for the name on the front instead of the name on the back. So Tommy Lasorda, I definitely got to go with one. To Frank Robinson. I got to go with Frank Robinson, a guy who played and managed at the same time. Wow. That was it. And being able to meet him as a player in the Fall League, the myth came alive for me. You know, like this guy can, you know, not only play third base, but also, you know, hit home runs. So that was a huge thing for me. Now, this one is really near dear to my heart because this was my first major league manager, and that was Don Baylor. I'm going to tell you, even to this day, there are some things about me at this level that I carried from way back in 2000. And even my wife carried from when, you know, his wife led the players and the coaches' wives. There are some things that we still do to this day because of that. So we're forever, ever grateful for that. I'm going to go with one because I've heard nothing but so many stories about him. I was in the organization while he was there. I'm going to go with Lou Piniella. Man, Lou Piniella, man, this guy will fight you. He will verbally get at you. And you hear so many stories. A good friend of mine, John McLaren, tells me so many stories about Lou Piniella and how he was hard on his staff and the things that he did. So I was like, man, that's a really cool one right there. And then also another one, my time with the Tigers, you know, this guy was around, Sparky Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, Sparky was great. You know, he led, you know, guys that I love at that time, you know, Lou Whitaker, you know, you had Kirk Gibson, you know, Alan Trammell, Eric Davis was there. So that was a huge one for me. I'm going to say missing the cut will be Billy Martin. Oh, no, sorry. I got one more, and I can't. This guy was a Dodger, and I got to go with him. This guy's won no matter where he went, Dusty Baker. Man, I almost missed that one. I can't do that. Dusty Baker's another one. I'm going to say missing the mark, Leo DeRocha, for me, just the things that he, you know, he went through. Bruce Bochy was another one. I can't name, like, any of the guys that are active right now, but I'm going to say missing the cut, you know, Pirate Greg, Danny Murtaugh, just, man, to be able to write up a lineup that featured all minorities during that day and time, I thought that was really cool. And then we can't forget Earl Weaver.
Yeah. That was a good one, too. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, it's going to be interesting come Friday, because not only will we be talking about Albert Pujols coming to town and chasing 700 over there, but we will be coming up with the top five bands, your top five bands, my top five bands, or, you know, performers in the music industry. This is going to be interesting as we keep this thing going here. And we can recollect on a lot of things here, but that's going to be amazing. Top five bands. I'm sure you'll come up with a great list.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, I'm going to try and be as eclectic as I possibly can. I'm going to solicit some help from my wife, because she's the singer, she's the performer. On that, I know one of her favorite groups of all time is the Bee Gees, just because not only did they do soundtracks, but they wrote a lot of music, that people sung that we had no idea that they did. So, they will probably be in one. And then I can tell you the Elements, which is my favorite group of all time, Earth, Wind, and Fire, will be in there.
That's
two. The next three, we're gonna see what's going on from there.
Yeah, we'll come up with some good ones. I might have to get my wife on this one, too, to help me out on what she likes. Because I can remember years back working in the Warner Center Marriott, being a doorman at the time, and Mick Fleetwood would stay at the hotel, and for 3 months he was in and out of there, and one day he said, "Mark, I'm cleaning out all my stuff. Can you use this?" And, you know, he used to wear these flamboyant outfits, and he gave me a sport jacket. I gave it to my wife, and she likes Mick Fleetwood, so I said, yeah, so maybe I'll tap into what she likes as far as music goes. Hey, real fast, as we wrap this thing up, are you going to be able to catch, or is it going on the same time as you guys, the Johnny Majors Classic Saturday? Tennessee's playing Pitt, and you guys are playing the Cardinals that day. Are they playing during the day? Will you have time to watch that a little, or it'll coincide with what you guys are playing?
I don't know. Hopefully we're not playing at the same time. I think Saturday's game for us is it's a night game, so I think they're playing at the afternoon. So at least it's another. So I'll be at the ballpark. I'll probably be able to watch. I'll watch it from, you know, our coach's room. I won't, you know, walk down the street or anything like that. But definitely want to support, you know, our college team here, which had a great opener, and hopefully looking forward to them continuing on, having a really good season.
Yeah, and then on the off day, the Rams and Buffalo get it on, opening up the NFL season. That should be interesting. I just think Buffalo's just got too many weapons. I know the Rams are the defending Super Bowl champs, but I just think with Josh Allen, you don't even have to go cross-country and get on American Airlines. You just get on his football, and he'll take you across the country.
Right. Absolutely. Man, this guy has a rocket, you know, for an arm. And it's just really good to watch those guys, you know, compete and play and watch the strategy of all defensive coordinators that go up against him.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate everything you do for me, and we love this show going. I mean, it's just a blast doing it twice a week. And as we get and reconvene here Friday as the Redbirds come into Pittsburgh, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend.
Man, on Facebook, first and last name, TARRIKBROCK. On Instagram, first and last name with the SR on it for senior, TARRIKBROCKSR, all one word. And on Twitter, first name with SR, TARRIK, man, SR. So, man, thank you for this show. This was great. Thanks for switching because yesterday with the early start for the holiday, we had, you know, meetings, pregame meetings. So, man, I look forward to doing this show. I'm glad we were able to run it back today. So, man, let's have a great day, and we'll do our best to throw a wrench in the Metropolitan's day.
Yeah, and when you know those Met fans, you know, they can be a little belligerent there and everything. And just like I always tell the guys in Philly, I'm sorry, I don't know where Philly and New York is. I thought the East Coast stopped at Pittsburgh. For Tarek Brock out there in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll reconvene Friday as the Birds come to town. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports and podcast platforms wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Now on Mancini Media. Have a great one, guys, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Friday.